Here to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. Isn't it a beautiful day to worship the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We just want to thank everyone for being here with us at Little Swatara, and we just pray you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and you would open your minds and open your hearts and allow the Lord to work in whatever way he sees fit. We just pray as we move through the service, you would be able to just surrender whatever's happened even this morning or throughout this week and just allow God to move in our presence. We just want to highlight on Tuesday, 6 o'clock, everyone say that with me, Tuesday, 6 p.m., we are going to be weeding the potatoes. Now, you know when you weed, if you have more people to do that, it's going to take a lot less time. So whoever is able to come out on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the potatoes are being raised for the food pantry. It's a great outreach Little Swatara is doing. And just meet out at the field and let's get those potatoes weeded and get that harvest ready for our community to help feed those among us. We also want to highlight today's spiritual nurture meeting after church and just ask you to be in prayer for the deacons as they meet. And we just also highlight the newsletter articles. If you've ever wondered, am I allowed to write a newsletter article? Absolutely. Anyone can write a newsletter article and just submit that to Catherine Ziegler. Yeah, why don't we give it to Catherine Ziegler? She's in charge of the newsletter, does a great job every month putting that together. So if you have a newsletter article, today is that deadline. We do have a group heading to annual conference on Wednesday. Some may have already left, and we just want to keep them in prayer. We're consecrating them in the second service, but just ask you to keep our delegates, Rich and Shelley Yenser, in prayer, and Denise and I'll be heading there, and many others in our congregation heading to Greensboro, North Carolina. Also, our second service will be consecrating our mission team that's heading to South Carolina. I always get those two mixed up. So they're heading to South Carolina, so we'll consecrate them second service, but would like you guys to keep them in prayer as well, because we are a body of believers, whether we're at the first service or the second service. We're all together in this. Is there any other announcements you want to highlight? We do ask you to continue to just bless the ladies that are celebrating significant birthdays. There's Shirley Bayshore is going to be 81 and Martha Clark, who's going to be 97. So continue to bless those with the cards that you so faithfully give. And Pam, yes.
I'd like to highlight that the flowers on the altar in celebration of Richard and Beatrice's 55th wedding anniversary.
And they're right here. So let's give them a round of applause. 55 years of marriage. That's fantastic. Wonderful indeed. Blessings to you and many, 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 many more. Any other announcements this morning? Yes. Our mic guy is still drinking his coffee.
We're going to be doing a sub sale for one of Andrew's cousins. He was recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, so we'd like to sell some subs to raise money for him and his family. The orders are going to be due by July 3rd, and we're going to be making the subs on the 10th. So there'll be, we'll have them here to pick up between 4 and 5 on the 10th then. So the sign up will be out in the narthex if you want to buy a sub. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, for this opportunity to worship your most holy name. And we pray, Father, that you would just move our hearts, that you would stir our minds, and you would help us to focus solely on you. And Father, we know the week that we've had you, we know the morning that we've had, and we just pray, Father, that we would just empty ourselves and we would just give ourselves to you to be used in this time to worship you. And it's in Jesus' most precious, awesome name we pray. Amen.
This first one's a new one, and we invite you to listen to the lyrics, and if you know it, join along, or if you start to catch on to the tune, it's very easy to learn, but we just want to welcome the Holy Spirit here with us this morning.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come from. Thank you.
know as fellow believers gather in his house that the Spirit is indeed present, and we pray that the Spirit continues to move in your life and continue to draw you closer to him as we move through worship this morning. We invite you now to share in any joys or concerns you may have, and we always know as we pray to our Heavenly Father through Jesus that he hears our prayers. So we have a mic that'll be coming around and just ask you to raise your hand, and we would encourage one another to be in prayer for these requests.
I have a joy and just want to thank the congregation or whatever committee is responsible for the scholarships for our campers. Lauren had her first week at Camp Swatara and she had an awesome time. So thank you so much to whatever committee provides the golden ticket into camp. We appreciated it.
Amen. Amen. It's always a great opportunity for kids to go to camp, and looking at the photos, there was quite a few from Little Swatara that were there, and so we're blessed by Camp Swatara, and keep that ministry in prayer as they move throughout the summer months and impact more and more students and the leaders that provide the camp with staff. We ask you to keep them in prayer as well. Any other joys or concerns to share with your church family?
We would like to say thank you to everyone for their prayers, concern, and all the Thanksgiving we got during Harold's recent illness. He's happy camper today. It's the first time he's driven in months, and I'm glad I don't have to be a chauffeur. And we know prayer does work. God is with us. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. I had the opportunity to perform the wedding ceremony of Aaron Stoop and Laura Beisel yesterday. So Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Stoop are on their way to Nashville, from what I understand, if I remember correctly. So we pray blessings upon that marriage union and the families as they join together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again that we can come into your house and we can come before you and we can ask prayer requests. And Father, we know that it doesn't go on a deaf ear, but it goes on an ear that is listening and responding to every request. And Father, we pray especially that we would be given understanding, because at times we pray and we don't quite fathom the response. And we ask, Father, that you would just give us patience and help us to understand why you respond in the way that you have your will lined up for our lives. We think, Father, of those that are celebrating marriages this morning and a 55 wedding year anniversary for Richard and Beatrice, and continue, Lord, for every marriage represented here today, that you would bless them and allow them to be able to see eye to eye. But most importantly, Father, they would continue to put you at the center of those marriages, Lord, and that you would be the reason that they live and move and breathe day in and day out. We thank you, Father, for our families represented here today, and pray as we raise our children, you would indeed give us patience, you would give us guidance, and you would give us wisdom as we bring our children up in the Lord, and help them, Father, through us to see your example. And we think, Father, of those that have come through serious illnesses and those that are dealing with current illnesses. And Father, we know that you are indeed the master physician. And we place each of those individuals into your loving arms and ask your protection, ask your perseverance, just ask your healing touch in Jesus' name. And many of those situations where it's getting worse and worse, and we just pray, Father, that you would help them to know that you are very near in their presence. And we thank you, Father, that you give us opportunities to share your love. We know that as Christians, as followers of you, you call us to go and to make disciples. And we're praying, Father, that you would give us boldness. You would help us to proclaim the good news as we go to work, as we move throughout the community, going to the grocery store, wherever we may be, Father. May there always be joy on our face because of the salvation that you have given us. And we just pray now, Father, we know that sin has crept into our lives and we've fallen prey to temptation and allowed that sin to take its hold in our lives. And we're praying now, Father, for release of that sin in Jesus' name and confessing it to you during these next few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers. Father, we know it's through the cross where your Son paid the price for our sins once and for all. And we know through the empty tomb, Lord, that those sins have been forgiven. And we pray, Father, that indeed we would live that life of an empty tomb, being free from that sin. And anytime the enemy tries to entangle us, Father, we pray against his schemes in Jesus' name and ask that we would always walk in your presence and allow you to consume us day in and day out as we surrender at all times. And we thank you again, Father, for this time to worship you and to give you our prayer concerns on our lips, Father. And we just lift up those on our prayer concerns by name and ask that you would move in their lives. And we think of Jen and Pete and Carol and Henry and Orwin and Jean and Catherine and Sandy and Naomi and Richard and Gage and Brock and Tim Mason, and ask, Father, that your will would be accomplished, that you would give comfort and you would give healing in Jesus' most precious name. And we thank you, Father, again for who you are and what you mean to our lives. Bless this congregation as we move forward and help us, Father, to always be in your will. And it's in Jesus' most precious, precious name that we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join us in worship.
Splendor of the King, the majesty that all.
seated. And indeed, we know how great our God is. And as we continue to worship this morning in our act of offering, we pray God's abundant blessing over you. Father, we thank you for each giver here this morning. We thank you for each heart represented, Father. And we know in this time, in this age that we live, it sometimes is difficult to place money into that offering. But Father, we know that you continually provide for our every need. And we pray, Father, as we do this act of worship, that you would indeed help us to be cheerful and realize that it was because you gave that we give. And we just pray, Father, as we watch this video of why we give, that you would stir our hearts.
Every need. I'd like to invite the children to come join me up front. Jack. Many people enjoy boating, fishing, sailing, and canoeing. And they do that on lakes, rivers, streams. Have any of you gone out on a boat? Yeah? If so, you're bound to have worn that. Do you know what that's called? Can you read the screen? The lifesaver. Do you know why the lifesaver is important? Go ahead, Daniel.
So you don't
drown. That's right. You never know when you're going to get into an accident or a sudden storm is going to hit. Just if you wear a lifesaver, then your life is saved. Can I tell you guys a story about a lifesaver? Yes? One day, some men and boys went fishing on a lake. Before they got into the boat, they put on their life jackets. One of them refused to put it on because he thought it would make him look like a weakling. Maybe he thought, I know how to swim, I'll save my own life. They'd only been out on the boat for a little bit when a storm hit. Do you know what happened to that boat? It flipped over. Everyone who had their lifesavers on were saved. Do you know what happened to that person who didn't put it on? They drowned. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus wants to save us all and take us with him to heaven. But some people, do you know, they think that if they follow Jesus, they might think people might think they are weak because they're following someone who helps save them. You all need to admit that you love Jesus and that you want Jesus to be your Savior. And that some people think they don't need Jesus. They think they can save themselves. When the storms of life come up and we get thrown overboard, do you know who's there to pick us up? Jesus. It is foolish to go out in the water of life without a life jacket. But it's even more foolish to sail the sea of life without Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us. We pray that as we sail upon the sea of life, each and every one here today will take hold of one thing that can save us from the storm, which we are sure to encounter. Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Please rise and join us as we continue worship.
Everyone needs forgiveness.
In the world we live in today, we've come to understand there's multiple ways to do things. For example, tying a shoe. I never realized there's more than one way to do so. I've always done so in a certain way, but over the past few years teaching my son, I've learned that there's this two bunny ear method. I've always chased the rabbit around the tree into the hole. And this summer, as we fire up our grills, we all know there's certain ways that we like our steak. We may feel very strongly the only way that it's to be done, but some like it rare. Some like it medium. Some, like myself, like it well done. I prefer my steak not to be mooing. Amidst this harvest of strawberries and so many pictures on Facebook of picking them, which brings a huge smile to my face as I see families together doing so, we realize there's many ways to put them to use. Some put them on a salad. Others puree them and make them into jelly. Still more just eat the strawberry. But in my opinion, I feel strongly, what better way to eat them with strawberry shortcake and whipped cream on top? But we've also come to understand in our lives, there's certain things we can only do one way. For example, if we've ever completed a crossword puzzle, or traveled through a corn maze, there's only one exact, precise way to complete it. Now, we all remember that one word that just had to fit in those spaces, but that other word, up or down, just didn't seem to work. Or walking through that corn maze and finding yet another dead end. I don't know about you, but how many times have you been tempted to just cut through that corn and get to the end already? Or as students, we know teachers are looking for that precise answer on the multiple choice exam. And over the years, I've learned it's not always the letter C. So in life, we know there's many ways to do certain things. And at the same time, we know there's only one way for other things to happen. And we can argue till the cows come home which way is right. But today, I want to challenge us with an even more important question. And this, my friends, is a question that we absolutely have to have settled in our minds. And that question is Jesus the only way to heaven? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? As we study Scripture, as we cross-reference passages, it becomes quite evident that Jesus is indeed the only way to heaven. Now we have to understand this is an exclusive statement that may grate on the postmodern ear, but nonetheless, it is true. The inerrant Word of God, the Holy Bible, teaches that there is no other way to salvation than through Jesus Christ. We can't be good enough. We can't earn our way. Even the best of the best of the best still isn't good enough. Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, he is not a way, as in one of many. Jesus is the way, as in the one and only. No one, regardless of reputation, achievement, special knowledge, or personal holiness, can come to God the Father except through Jesus. We can't miss this very fact, or we'll miss out on something far greater than this life itself. We can't dispute this matter any further. Rather, friends, we can celebrate, we can rejoice that there is a way. And here's why. 1 1 Peter 2:4. Jesus was chosen by God to be the Savior. John 3:13, Jesus is the only one to have come down from heaven and returned there. Hebrews 4:15, he is the only person to have lived a perfect human life. 1 John 2:2, he is the only sacrifice for sin. Matthew 5:17, he alone fulfilled the law and the prophets. Hebrews 2:14 to 15, the only man to have conquered death forever. 1 Timothy 2:5, he is the only mediator between God and man. Philippians 2:9, and the only man whom God has exalted to the highest place. Jesus spoke of himself as the only way to heaven in several places besides John 14:6. In Matthew 7:21 to 27, he presented himself as the object of faith. In John 6:63, he said that his words are life. And in John 3:14 to 15, and promised that those who believe in him will have eternal life. And again, in the book of John 10:7, he said he is the gate of the sheep. In 6:35, the bread of life. And 11:25, the resurrection. Friends, no one else can rightly claim those titles. The apostles' preaching focused on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Peter, speaking to the Sanhedrin in our scripture for today, clearly proclaimed Jesus as the only way to heaven. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to follow along on the screen, we'll be in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Go ahead, open your Bibles and turn to that passage, or follow along on the screen. Acts 4, 1 through 13. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." And here is the key verse. "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have made a way for us, ordinary people, to be in a relationship with you. And Father, it is my prayer that once and for all, we can settle it in our mind that you are the only way. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is where salvation is found. No other name under heaven given to mankind can we be saved. But Father, we realize that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and because of that, Peter and John were put in prison. But the men who accused them were astonished. And I pray this for each of us today and the rest of the days of our lives, that people would know that we had been with Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Paul, speaking to the synagogue in Antioch, singled out Jesus as the Savior. He said this in Acts 13, 38 to 39. And if any of you want these scriptures, I'll gladly send them to you. But I'm just throwing those scriptures out there, for you know that it's from the Bible all of these verses come. It says, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. 1 John 2:12, John, writing to the church at large, specifies the name of Christ as the basis of our forgiveness. He says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. No one, my friends, but Jesus can forgive sin. Eternal life in heaven is made possible only through Christ. John 17:3, Jesus prayed, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. To receive God's free gift of salvation, we must look to Jesus and to Jesus alone. We must trust in Jesus' death on the cross as our payment for sin and in his resurrection. Romans 3:22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. At one point in Jesus' ministry, many of the crowd were turning their backs on him, and they were leaving in hopes of finding another Savior. Friends, we're seeing that happening today. And in John 6:67, Jesus asked the 12 this, do you want to go away as well? And Peter's reply is exactly right. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Friends, may we all share Peter's faith that eternal life resides only in Jesus Christ. You see, the way has been made. Do we truly trust him this morning? Have we made him Lord of our lives? I'm going to ask us in a few moments to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you never invited Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray these words with me. But first, I want us to understand this prayer that we say. This prayer they call the sinner's prayer is a prayer a person prays to God when they understand they are a sinner and in need of a Savior. Saying a sinner's prayer will not accomplish anything on its own. A true sinner's prayer only represents what a person knows, understands, and believes about their sinfulness and need for salvation. Romans 3:10 proclaims it, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Titus 3:5 to 7, the Bible makes it clear that we all have sinned. We are all sinners in need of mercy and forgiveness from God. Because of our sin, we deserve eternal punishment. This prayer is a plea for grace instead of judgment. It is a request for mercy instead of wrath. It is also knowing what God has done to remedy our lost and sinful condition. In John 1:1 and 14, God took on flesh and became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. John 8:46, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus taught us the truth about God and lived a perfectly righteous and sinless life. Romans 5:8, Jesus then died on the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve. And Colossians 2:15, Jesus rose from the dead to prove his victory over sin, death, and hell. Because of all this, we can have our sins forgiven and be promised of an eternal home in heaven if we place our faith only in Jesus Christ. All we have to do is believe that he died in our place and rose from the dead. We can be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 2:8 declares, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." Saying the sinner's prayer is simply a way of declaring to God that you are relying on Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no magical words that result in salvation. It is only faith in Jesus' death and resurrection that can save us. If you understand that you are a sinner and in need of salvation through Jesus Christ, I now invite everyone to simply close their eyes and to bow their heads before the Lord God. And I ask you to repeat this prayer with me. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Amen. If anyone said this prayer for the very first time, or maybe today you've come to the realization that you've been trying to follow many ways to get to heaven, and for today you have settled in your mind that Jesus Christ alone is the only way, I invite you to please tell someone. I'd love to become part of your journey of faith. This world is collapsing around us, and we realize in our midst many false teachers are coming among us, but we must realize that Jesus alone is our way to salvation. We praise God that indeed there is a way. Would you please rise as the praise team comes forward for our closing hymn? And would you please just consider the words you are singing and realize in the midst of this place called the church, the Holy Spirit of God is here, and he's working on our hearts. He's continuing to impress upon us our need for a Savior. Those things that have crept in, that have caused us to fall idle to something other than God, other than Jesus, we cast them out in Jesus' name and ask that our salvation would be in him alone, that we wouldn't depend on ourselves, that we would find peace through Jesus Christ. May it be so. Let us rise and sing our closing hymn.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that there is a way through your Son, Jesus Christ. We gather here as broken people. Father, you know those things, those issues in our lives that we deal with every single day. But Father, you have come to set us free. You have come to offer us forgiveness. And Father, we declare on this very day that you are our personal Lord and Savior. No more, Father, will we follow the ways of this world. No more, Father, will we allow the enemy to have a foothold. We declare in Jesus' name that we are your children. We are adopted into your family. And Father, how we thank you that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High. May it be that we live in light of that salvation, knowing that there are still people in this world who need to be reached. And Father, for anyone that may have said that prayer for the first time today, we encourage them, we uplift them to be able to live out this faith walk. Thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity to share that it is in your name alone, that we can be saved. Thank you for our eternal home awaiting us. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Go in peace.